Hello, grandkids, and welcome to a special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is numbered 877, and the appearance is finally made by the wife. Say hello to the Stunt Granny audience.
Hello, Stunt Granny audience.
You can be a little bit closer. Like, you don't need to be scared of that thing.
I'm not.
Okay. So we are here to do a segment-by-segment breakdown of NXT with all the questions from a non-regular viewer here.
Non-regular viewer is correct, sir.
So we had Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stacks Lorenzo defending their tag team championships against the Dyad, who are part of the Schism.
Schism, yes.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the match here? What questions do you have as a non-regular viewer?
A little confusing. Everyone's wearing a mask, and you had to explain exactly what was happening and who they may or may not be part of. Yeah, the schisms.
Yeah, this has been a long-running storyline that is a little maybe hard to jump into. Because it is not terribly straightforward, since the Creeds have been kicked off of NXT, quote unquote. They had to leave town.
Wait, I thought you said the Schisms were their contract was over. The Creed contract was over?
Well, no. There's real stuff and storyline stuff going on here.
Mm, the real stuff is
the Schism, the Dyad specifically.
Who are the Schisms?
No, well, there are two of them. They were just the ones that are in the tag team. Because, like, the Rock's daughter, she was the woman there, and there's the other guy, Joe Gacy, who is the leader.
That woman was the Rock's daughter?
Yes.
Had no idea.
Yep.
Okay.
She did not have a very big part tonight.
No.
She had a shocked look face. That was about it.
Yeah. But that wasn't the woman that came out, right?
No.
That was the woman that was with the group with the weird masks on?
No. Ivy Nile was not with the mask group.
Is Ivy She's Nile the Rock's Creeds. Daughter?
No.
Oh, the other lady is the Rock's daughter.
Correct.
All right.
Ivy Nile, though, was on the Rock's... do you remember watching... what was his game show that was kind of like American Gladiators, but different?
Oh, yeah, I love that show. What was that show?
She was on that show.
Oh.
I can't remember the name of that show now.
Yeah, I really like that show.
I'm blanking, and I'm not looking it up currently.
I'm not going to look it up. It's okay. Yeah. It was just a good show.
Yep. Anyway. Filled time over the summer.
Yes. Like two summers ago.
Yep.
It's a long time ago.
Yep.
So that lady came from the Rock's show?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that's exciting for her.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. I thought the match was kind of boring myself. Like, I just kind of thought it was boring. And then all of a sudden, like, it was over. And then they replayed it. And I totally missed Ivy coming out and these two weird masked men standing there who may or may not be part of the Schism.
No, they are part of the Diamond Mind.
Which is not part of the Schisms, correct. But they're part of the Creed?
Yes, they're the Creed brothers who are in the two masks. And Ivy Nile is with them.
Hmm.
They are a group unto themselves.
Well, I did feel like the D'Angelo Dawn really did nothing while the other guy was beaten to a pulp. But again, you told me that that's because there's always a weak one in the group. So it kind of is a little annoying having one guy take the fall for everything and do all the work, and then the other guy come in and just do two things, and boom, he wins. And everyone's like, woo, you won. So... I don't know, I was kind of annoyed by that.
But he's the underboss now. Stax is the underboss. Like, he's at least been elevated in title.
Mm.
Everyone can't be the Don.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets to be the boss.
I have to say, the only thing I really liked about the Don were those comfy pants that he was wearing. Those were pretty baller.
Those did look pretty comfortable, and I would like a pair of those.
Note taken.
Okie doke. On to the next segment here. So we're skipping ahead a little bit to the match between Dana Brooke and Blair Davenport. And Kalani Jordan was at ringside for Dana Brooke in this situation. She was not terribly noticeable except for the very end after the defeat. Oh, well, she was kind of the crux of the story there since Dana Brooke went to use the ring bell.
Yes. Yes. That was a nice, tidy little match that was start to finish super fast.
Yeah, I'm sensing a don't want to watch matches trend already going on here. So I'm going to assume we're not going to have any half hour matches tonight, but you might end up falling asleep if that happens.
It is a possibility. That first one was kind of long. I liked Blair. I thought she was really good. Dana looks old. I wasn't really a fan of her. At all.
How dare you disrespect my fellow Kent State Golden Flash.
Very sorry, husband. Not a fan. And as you pointed out, I didn't catch it since I am a novice, but there was a mishap during...
Yep.
...there, and you said, oh, that didn't go as planned. So, obviously...
Yep, that kind of looked like that was more on Dana Brooke than Blair Davenport in that situation.
Then yeah. I am correct that... Blair should have won with that. So yep. I was excited about that. Blair looked pretty good. I like her little knee punches, boom, boom, and then get them out. Is that her signature move?
Yeah.
The little knee thing?
Yep.
Excellent. I caught on. Got it.
So next up on the docket here is Drew Gulak versus Trick Williams. What are your initial thoughts after watching these two?
I loved Tricky. He was great. He jumps, he punches, he flies. I loved him. He is a showstopper. Like, I could probably sit and watch another match of his. He was very exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He is being called the bag holder in this situation because the champion, Carmelo Hayes, uh-huh. who's been in the other two talking segments, he's the champ, so... he's kind of second place guy. So he's out to prove himself now that he is as good, at least as good as Carmelo Hayes, his running buddy.
Oh, I think Tricky's fantastic.
Yeah, it's looking like he really has a future.
I wasn't quite sure why he kicked something into the stands in the beginning since you told me that he's a good guy. So I was a little confused by that part. But the man in the audience was so excited that Trick won that he stood up with his cowboy hat and started flinging it around, and that was hilarious. So obviously he has a good following, and I enjoyed it. Like, that's what I like to watch. It's to the point. Like, let's get the show on the road, and that's our child playing over there. And here we go. So, yeah, Tricky. And him calling her mommy is ick. I can't.
Dirty Dominic Mysterio calling Rhea Ripley mommy?
No, not at all. And all that, oh my God, that woman is just too much. All that black and gross and ugh. I've never liked her. And yeah, wee. And then when he said mommy, I was like, oh my God, I think he just called her mom. Like, what? So, yeah, I am a.
Yeah,
I am,
it's because he had a split with his father, who right. is the great Rey Mysterio.
Right.
So, you know, to kind of dig in a little bit extra on things, they have, used a little more Mexican wording for.
Would you call a woman your own age, mommy? Is that normal? No.
Yeah, some people like to do that thing.
I mean, are you going to call your brother daddy? I mean, it's like weird, right? Like, it's weird.
I could call him daddy, I suppose. What's up, daddy-o? Maybe I'll go back to, like, 50s lingo and just do the daddy-o for everyone.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of the whole mommy comment there. I forget what was on before that, before they came on.
It was the Baron Corbin, Von Wagner segment.
Corbin looks terrible. Like, I remember him from the WWE, and he looks really bad and super pasty. And I was like, And so I really hope that the Von guy might win. He's a big dude. But I haven't seen Corbin wrestle in a really long time, so I was surprised to see him on the NXT.
Yeah, they've decided to make some get some use out of his big contract and send him. And, I mean, he probably is a good guy now to go down and have him work with other big men in NXT. And I mean, he hasn't just exclusively worked with big men, but it would make some sense to send down again, similar to Drew Gulak, a little bit of a player coach kind of situation, since he's been around for like 7 or 8 years. It's kind of been a while that he's been in the WWE at this point.
I wasn't really a fan of all the profanity that he was using, though, either.
Well, it was one and one.
Kid friendly.
Yeah, they're allowing a little more Keller these days. Yeah. Well, a little more language. I shouldn't say Keller, because normally in a wrestling context that means you bled.
Yeah, I really wasn't kind of a fan of that. But this heat wave seems to be something huge. So everyone seems to be preparing for a heat wave.
Yep, that's next week, and just a TV event. I mean, it's not even a premium live event, so not even a PML.
All right, well, maybe there's PLE? More wrestling.
Yeah, PLE.
More wrestling to come?
Yeah, more wrestling to come.
Okay.
Because Mustafa Ali's segment was, completely over the top. Like, that is, to me, one of those dumb things that is completely enjoyable about wrestling. Like, that whole segment was ludicrous in all the right ways. What do you think, wife?
Husband, I hate to admit this, but I totally zoned out. I couldn't tell you one thing that guy said. And honestly, I was trying to distinguish if the Fabio-looking man was the same man standing at the presidential podium. And you told me that it was, and then after that, I just kind of zoned out until he was done speaking. But you did a lot of giggling over there, so I see that you really enjoyed it. But I could have done without that.
Fair enough.
Wesley might be just as good as Tricky, but Wesley's from Dayton, so that actually is really spectacular. And he's a little man fighting a large dude. And even though Eddie came out, Wesley still did his little air fly drop into the thing and then threw him back into the ring and then stood up there and everyone was yelling, "It's awesome," and then took him out. So I loved it. It was a great match.
Yeah, that 360 720, I think.
It was spectacular. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, or is that a 450 720? But anyway, whatever it is, because it's two different directions.
Uh-huh.
It's quite an impressive finisher that he has.
Was he a gymnast before?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure either, though.
I mean, he's got some great moves. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes, he has always been really on the athletic side of things, and I've been impressed with him because he was one of the guys that when we went to Vegas, I saw him wrestle for Impact Wrestling.
Oh, you saw Wes Lee.
Yeah, back in the day.
I also,
at this point,
the crowd actually finally seemed to come alive during that one too, because the crowd really hasn't been doing anything. Are they usually more vocal or no?
There's kind of a give and take with the NXT crowd, just because it's always, almost always in Florida. There at Full Sail University in Orlando there. So, yeah, the crowd can get a little stale sometimes.
They're a little stale this evening.
So.
Because I really like the Trick one, and no one was saying anything. So at least there was a...
some cheers, but it wasn't...
But this had the "This is awesome" chant. It fizzled as quickly as it started, but it at least was there.
Yeah, they gave them a little... well, they probably didn't give them that much more time, honestly, but...
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was very enjoyable.
Yeah,
and Wesley, I was rooting for Wesley the whole time.
Since Dijak are both very good at their jobs.
Wesley's from Dayton, so that was exciting to see him wrestle.
Yep, local boy done well.
Yes, did great.
Yeah, Tyler Bate versus Joe Coffey. You know, one comment that you made while we were watching that I do think is a bit valid in this situation is that Tyler Bate has been a little bit of a dickhead recently. So he is not a completely good guy. Because him and Wesley have had their problems in the recent past. Mm-hmm. And Wesley has definitely always been the good guy in these situations. And the Coffey, Gallus, they haven't really done anything overly heelish. They like to drink and play pool and do extracurriculars, but they don't really, haven't really cheated a lot in their matches, so they haven't really been bad guys. So yeah, this matchup was kind of weird. They set it up with the NXT Anonymous footage there, because they had the beef at some fan event, evidently. But yeah, it was kind of a weak way to have a match.
I didn't really like it.
Yeah, it was just kind of filler. So, okay. There's not a lot to like about that.
Excellent.
So, what did you think of Nathan Frazier's hard-hitting Home Truths, which was also, in fact, interrupted by the Supernova Sessions? They do love to name their talk shows.
I guess this must be a theme, because I feel like everybody has a talk show throughout the WWE. So, because, I mean, how many talk shows are now on, like, Raw and SmackDown? Like, I feel like everyone has their own talk show now.
Well, not everyone, but it is definitely a frequently used gimmick, because there's the KO show, and there's Miz TV, the Grayson Waller effect. He just was in NXT, but has brought his talk show to the main roster. And I know that I feel like I'm forgetting at least one other talk show that is occasionally. Oh, you know what? I believe Edge has brought back the highlight reel from time to time.
I would have to say his is a little different, since it kind of looks like Sports Center, because it has like a desk and a little different and everything. So it is a little bit more showy.
Yes.
Than the other ones are. But I actually really enjoyed that clip and even chuckled. The fact that it said live from the moon
yes,
was hilarious.
From the Supernova Sessions, yes.
I loved the bright colors. The guy in the pink pants seems kind of like douchey, but I really loved the fraud button. Was probably my favorite. It reminds me of the big button that Staples was passing out when you did a big order. And you could hit the button and it makes a beep noise. So
yes.
That's exactly what it reminded me
of. That was frequently used at the office when that became a thing.
So that was probably one of my favorite little clips or whatever through the night. It's probably the most enjoyable one.
Yeah, I think the Nathan Frazier kind of desk commitment is pretty nice. Like you said, like it's different enough that it makes it feel fresh, even though there are a bunch of other talk shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, I dig it. It's more of a Saturday Night Live vibe than like an in-ring.
Didn't Bailey have some type of talk thing going on with a door?
Oh, Ding Dong Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another one, yep. Too.
Yep.
I can't believe I just pulled that out from somewhere.
So, yeah, and that wasn't even the one that I was thinking about, quite frankly. So, there's another one out there that someone is yelling into their podcast device about currently that I am not remembering. So, okie dokie. On to, I don't think this is the main event, but... We at least have one women's match headed up here.
All right.
So I gave you a little bit of the backstory with Thea Hale and Andre Chase there. He threw in the towel when she was taking on Tiffany Stratton there, who is the NXT Women's Champion at the current moment. Because she's on the Tiffy Top, get it?
Oh, that's kind of stupid, but okay. Yeah. Well, I loved how the crowd was really into Thea. Thea. I mean, they were, like, super chanting her, so I was really bummed that she lost, but apparently the Chase U guy was the reason that she lost a second time in a row. So are they going to do some type of story, do you think, that breaks her away from the whole Chase U storyline to give her something of her own?
I don't know what exactly the end game is, honestly, with this one. It is character growing for her, which is good. Andre Chase is a lot of fun, and honestly, so is Duke Hudson in his, because they had that segment earlier in the show there where yes. They had their interaction. So you know, they're all very enjoyable characters, I think, and it's furthering a story. I'm never a big fan of any losing streak, but they're actually telling a story that should have an end to it. And I would imagine it's going to be her winning at some point to kind of overcome this little funk that she's in.
Well, I mean, I know one thing you can think of is, you know, never go into the ring angry, just like you should never do anything when you're angry. So the fact that she was super angry in the ring to let out her frustrations was just them saying that she's going to lose the match anyway, you know, because she was not thinking clearly.
A decent job of filling in that maybe she was a little too fired up.
I was a little interested on the little segment after with the two cousins and the whole little story that's coming. Or something?
Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza are yet again legitimate cousins in real life. So they come from a Lucha Libre family in Mexico.
Okay.
And I mean, they have done, as you kind of tell there, they've done a lot of Playboy type of gimmicks
they
over
do
the
look
years.
Very ladies manish, yeah.
So Humberto was a little fed up. He felt like that cost them a match somewhat recently, and that he's ready to stop monkeying around. And quite frankly, it's about the only trick they have left in the bag for those two guys. They've kind of been around for a little bit, went up to the main roster, came back down. The tag team scene has been kind of weird because of the Tony D'Angelo injury, honestly, so it's not completely
their
fault.
Oh, when he went to jail?
Yeah, when he went to jail. Mm. That really kind of put some serious storylines on ice, or at least, you know, stretched them out longer than they probably would have expected to. So, I mean, it's a good... I have really liked their vignettes as just a general whole in NXT. Like, they feel more like the segments that I would have watched in the 80s.
Just in general.
Like, the Nathan Frazier stuff kind of reminds me in a lot of ways. Like, there are these dumb... Someone was playing the Mr. Perfect segments. And like, the guy with Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, would go out and... He would, like, shoot the basketball and never miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he was perfect. Like, he did everything great.
Yeah.
Like, he did all of this dumb stuff, and they just built him up in these little segments that aren't in the ring and aren't, like, a traditional interview. And I think that they're very effective in kind of helping people create characters, and I think that that helps Humberto and Angel a bit. Here in the development department. Well, we are here to wrap things up. It is was an ongoing episode thing between Carmelo Hayes and Wesley here. As they had the first confrontation at Carmelo Hayes' signings early in the show, and then they had a couple other people pop in to bug him along the way. But yeah, Wesley ends the segment. He drags the table literally from the signing area out to the ring to be the what is usually an infamous contract table. And yeah, they end up having a cat play with their feet, and then they keep on moving. So yeah, he brings the table to the ring. He sets it up. He finally gets Carmelo Hayes to sign the contract. Not after some verbal sparring here.
Very inspirational speech that I really loved. His journey and everything that he said and how, you know, he's had to beat all the odds to get where he is. And I thought he's a really great wrestler. So listening to that, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But, I mean, it was very inspirational. And sometimes you need people to remind you that, you know, you do have to work hard to get where you want to be, even though there's a lot of obstacles in the way.
Yeah, I mean, most of it was true because his tag team partner was an idiot. I believe he got kicked out of the WWE for doing a Hitler gimmick at Halloween, which was frowned upon. Yeah, that was probably not the best idea. And also, I believe there is some domestic violence accusations out there with his wife, which also did not happen, or did not help him out at all. So, yeah, he kind of did get stranded, and he Wesley used that underdog gimmick to build himself into the North American Championship. And then, yeah, he's parlayed that. The fact that Booker T actually likes him is always a surprise, because Booker T seems to have a I'm only racist against other black people gimmick going on, because he infamously does not like New Day at all.
I like the New Day.
Yeah, they're hilarious and they're awesome.
I do find it interesting that Mello there quoted a little TLC Waterfalls, which was kind of a little bit hilarious. So I enjoyed the crowd telling him that Mello can't, because Wesley is going to win, is what the crowd would like to predict. Was I assuming correct?
Well, he won't miss is usually what he says.
Oh.
But since Wesley was harping on the can't, he changed it up this time around to suit the situation, which I did, you know, like, it's a nice little change in wordplay there to his normal shtick.
Well, I actually might watch Heat Wave. I would be excited to see what happens between Mello and Wes. And Tricky. I like Tricky too. With Ivan. Ivan? Oh, yeah. So that would be
He's kinda Russian. Like, you know, Ivan's close usually.
Oh. So I feel like those would be some pretty good matches. I don't know about that Mysterio Riley mommy thing. I'm totally not into that at all. Like, I really hope the dragon wins that one, because that one is weird, even though I assume that probably the Mysterio and Riley will probably win.
I would imagine
they seem a lot stronger than the dragon is. But yeah, it was a pretty fun show. Yeah. How did you enjoy the wife sitting here and talking about this with you this evening?
It was quite amusing, and we will see how the internet receives this. We will also talk really quickly. Our recent trip got me some fine beers out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Elst Brewing, their Juicy IPA, Citra, Mosaic, and Amarillo hops. It is a very tasty, juicy IPA, quite frankly.
Right.
And so that is off to a good start. There is a lot of travel beers to be had. So that was the bell time beer of the show here. I am at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.